are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me, as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. It's officially Matchup Wednesday, one of our favorite episodes of the week. We're going to be starting to dive deeper into the upcoming matchup between the Seahawks and Vikings in Minnesota. Jam-packed episode coming your way. The Locked On NFL Draft Podcast relaunches September 20th with brand new hosts. Eric Crocker brings the player scouting. Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. The Seahawks returned to the practice field on Wednesday. They were missing a few players heading into their Week 3 contest against the Vikings. Coming out of Sunday's physical game against the Titans, they lost Brandon Shell towards the end of the game to an ankle sprain. He did not practice today. His status remains unknown. They were without Brian Monet last weekend. He's still dealing with a tricep elbow injury. He did not practice today. Rashad Penny dealing with a calf issue is running but did not practice. And D. Eskridge still did not return to practice, now more than a week removed from having a concussion. One of those players, Rashad Penny, Pete Carroll basically already has ruled him out. They are going to make sure he is 100% back before he's back in game action. So maybe they'll have him in week four against the 49ers, but I would be stunned if he's playing this weekend. As for the other three players, Rob, we don't know if any of those three are going to be available. It's too early in the week to know.
It is too early in the week to know, but at the same time, I think that it's important that we just, because if the Seahawks are missing Brandon Shell at right tackle, considering they're going to be an elite pass rusher like Daniil Hunter off that side, if they do not have the speed threat that D. Eskridge provides, not only as a receiver, but obviously in the running game as well. That could be critical also. And then obviously after a week after giving up all those yards to Derrick Henry, you're going up against another elite back in Dalvin Cook, obviously in Minnesota, then the loss of Brian Monet could be significant as well. These are not the losses of a Bobby Wagner or Russell Wilson. There's no doubt about it, Corbin, that if Seahawks don't have these three players, then that is a significant obstacle to overcome going up against the Minnesota Vikings team that may be 0-2, but they've lost by a combined 4 points. They could just as easily be 2-0.
Yeah, the Vikings have been very competitive. They just haven't been able to find a way to finish off games the first 2 weeks of the season. And if the Seahawks are missing two or three of the players that we just mentioned, those are significant losses. I mean, this offense did not look the same without D. Eskridge out there because of the speed that he provides. And it just didn't seem like Shane Waldron was near as interested in going with the fly sweeps and just having jet motion in general. It was something they didn't really do at all against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. And maybe that's Waldron saying, I'm not as confident in the other receivers I have doing that. I think Freddie Swain and Penny Hart are more than capable of handling those duties. But D. Eskridge just has a different level of athleticism and speed than those players. So you would love to have him available. Maybe he ends up practicing Thursday, but he obviously has not cleared concussion protocol as of today. And so that's something to monitor. Brian Monet being available would be huge against the Vikings. And we'll, I'm sure, talk about this a little bit more in depth later in the show. But having that 340, 350-pound presence in the middle, especially when Al Woods and Puna Ford had to play so many snaps against the Titans, you want to have Brian Monet out there so he can rotate all three of those players and keep them fresh. That would make life difficult for the Seahawks if they don't have him for a second straight week. It sounds like he's getting stronger. That injury is healing up, but still don't know if he's going to be available for this contest. And without Brandon Shell, you're either going to have Jamarco Jones or undrafted rookie Jake Kieran starting at right tackle. Carroll today hinted that it was possible either one of those players would start. I would bet my money that's going to be Jamarco Jones, but at the same time, Jake Kieran had a really good preseason in training camp. The Seahawks know what Jamarco Jones can do. Who knows? Maybe they'll decide to go with the undrafted rookie if Brandon Shell is not available. Nonetheless, there's a drop-off there going from Shell, who had a pretty solid first year in Seattle and I thought was off to a pretty hot start this year as well. That is a big drop-off going from him to the other options that they have available, especially without Cedric Abuehi being active and currently on injured reserve.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, you know, Brandon Schell to me is one of the tough guys on the Seahawks roster. So the fact that he went down and obviously was unable to return to the last week's game, you know, and is still being sidelined here, that would be a significant loss. And hopefully for the Seahawks, he is able to return by, you know, for this game, and if not this one, then shortly thereafter. As you said, Corbin, the Seahawks already know what they basically have in Jamarco Jones. I think that he can be very effective in this game because, again, I think that Seattle's primary concern has to be slowing down the pass rusher that is Danielle Hunter. You want to be able to run the football, of course, and that's one area in which I think that Jamarco Jones is not nearly as effective as some, certainly as Brandon Schell, and perhaps even Jake Curran. But I'm as excited as I am about Jake Curran being able to come into the NFL. I just think that that is an awful lot to ask a young man. That's going to be quite the welcome to the NFL moment, going up against Danielle Hunter. And then you mentioned the fact that you know, Penny Hart and Freddie Swain specifically as possible replacements for Dee Eskridge. I think it's interesting we're having this conversation here before the Minnesota Vikings game because it reminds me – the way I watch Dee Eskridge, he reminds me a little bit of former Seahawk, former Minnesota Vikings receiver Percy Harvin. And he just adds that different element. As you said, it very much reminds me of that year when Seattle had Percy Harvin, of course, won a Super Bowl. You could just see the difference that Harvin provided the Seahawks. Eskridge has that type of ability. And without that, it did feel like Shane Waldron essentially was trying to call that game with one arm tied behind his back in a way. So, yeah, if the Seahawks don't have these players, then again, I think that is going to be huge. And if they don't have Monet, then one of the things that's going to be interesting, and we'll be talking about this a little bit later, but I wanted to kind of mention some possible replacements. Robert Kimdiche made a couple of interesting plays, I thought, this past week against Tennessee. That might be who the Seahawks would be looking at as a possible replacement.
They also have Miles Adams available on the practice squad. They could promote him, but he's a little smaller defensive tackle. I think Robert Kimdiche probably is more natural fit to be able to take those snaps if Monet can't play at 300 pounds. Miles Adams is around 280, 285, so that's a significant difference. But nonetheless, that would be a big loss, both figuratively and literally, for the Seahawks going against a Vikings team that likes to run the football. As for Rashad Penny, they've gotten used to not having him, unfortunately, and Alex Collins will be ready to step in. They'll have DJ Dallas and Travis Homer as well. So they should be okay in the backfield with the group of backs they currently have going into this matchup. When we come back in the second quarter, speaking of matchups, it's time to look at the Seahawks on offense against the Vikings on defense. We'll be looking at three key matchups to watch this weekend in Minneapolis. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. They've got a new updated site with a new interface, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the top source for everything football. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today to receive 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. And don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, and boxing right to your favorite casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, Seahawks fans. This is an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents per gallon on every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back with Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app or use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back right now on your first tank. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined as always by Rob Rang. We're already heading into week three. Once the regular season starts, things go very quickly in the NFL. Even with the additional game, the additional week being added to the schedule this year, we're already in the third game. Seahawks getting ready to head to Minnesota to face an 0-2 Vikings team, as we mentioned earlier, that has been competitive. They just haven't been able to get in the win column yet. They are going to be hungry for that first victory. Seattle's going to be hungry to get back in the win column after that disappointing loss to the Titans on Sunday. Let's talk matchups. Seahawks offense versus Vikings defense. I think we got to start at the tackle spots. We just mentioned in the first quarter, Brandon Shell, iffy whether he's going to be able to play this week with an ankle injury. They might have Jamarco Jones or Jake Kieran out there. Dwayne Brown has been magnificent at left tackle. He's playing as well as I've ever seen him play. Has yet to give up a pressure in the first two games, but he is going to be tested, as is whoever is at right tackle, by Danielle Hunter. They've also got Stephen Weatherly, and they've also got Everson Griffin potentially playing this week as well. They brought the veteran back after he spent last year with the Cowboys and the Lions. So you've got a pretty formidable edge rush headlined by Hunter, who has been one of the best pass rushers in the league for several years running. He missed all of last year with an injury. Seahawks didn't have to see him in Seattle. They're not going to get so lucky this time. And he's got four sacks in the first two games. He has been a nightmare coming off the edge, can win with power, can win with finesse. Dwayne Brown and whoever's at right tackle is going to have to deal with that, trying to protect Russell Wilson in a hostile road environment.
Yeah, that's, again, a very difficult task. Danielle Hunter is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. I think that he is, to me, when I think of Pete Carroll, I think of the success that he had in building up the Legion of Boom. And all of those defensive backs that he has helped make into NFL stars, whether in Seattle or they've had success elsewhere. Well, I think of Mike Zimmer. I think that one of his best successes has been the development of Danielle Hunter, because he was not a first-round selection. He was a very raw prospect coming out of LSU years ago. And Mike Zimmer helped shape him into the all-around terrific defender he is. Now, there's no question about it. He is at his best as a pure pass rusher, and I think that he would give a healthy Brandon Shell quite the run for his money. As you talked about before, Corbin, Dwayne Brown is having a spectacular season. I think the Minnesota Vikings are smart enough to have Hunter come off the right side. That is his normal position. Left side for him, right, going up against the right tackle. So I do expect that he is going to primarily be coming off of that edge. That's where Russell Wilson is going to see him. Basically on every single snap. The biggest concern I have for the Seahawks is that he's the type of pass rusher that you have to account for in every single play, and that can get into a quarterback's head. So if Shell is there, then I do think that this is going to be quite the fun battle. If it is a player like a Jamarco Jones, we talked about, we like his pass protection skills. But at the same time, I wonder if he's going to be able to hold up in the running game, really be able to provide that punch that Brandon Shell provides. And so that might not be just about Seattle trying to protect against the pass rush. It might be, are they going to be able to run the football well enough off that right side? And if they cannot, then obviously that's going to allow the Vikings to adjust and be able to focus on the middle and off of the left side. And that's going to swallow up Seattle's running game. So this very much is a matchup the Seahawks fans have to be paying a lot of attention to.
And Pete Carroll mentioned it today. Danielle Hunter is one of those rare pass rushers, like a Chandler Jones caliber player, that can single-handedly destroy an offensive game plan. And so he's going to be licking his lips if there's a backup tackle in there. And he can hold his own against Seattle's starting tackles. So if you're putting backups in, it could be a field day, especially with the red-hot start that he's off to open the season. So I think that is the number one matchup in the Seahawks on our offense that's going to matter. I want to stay in the trenches, though. In the interior, Damian Lewis, I would expect, he's going to be able to play. He was able to battle through and play last week. They've got Kyle Fuller at center and Gabe Jackson at right guard. The Vikings have an interesting trio of defensive tackles. They have Michael Pierce back. He sat out last year, opting out due to COVID, but they've got the big fella back. Michael Pierce is a run-stuffing machine, and they've also got Sheldon Richardson, who they re-signed. The Browns released him. They brought Richardson back. Offers a little bit more of a pass-rushing punch, but you've got those two players in the interior, and you've also got big Dalvin Tomlinson, who they signed from the New York Giants in free agency. So those three in the middle, They have had their share of issues at times defending the run this year, surprisingly, but I look at the trio defensive tackles they've got, and I think that could be a group that really gives Seattle's interior line, in particular Kyle Fuller at center, a lot of trouble in this game, especially if they're trying to establish the run.
Yeah, that is a huge concern. I think that Kyle Fuller has played reasonably well over the first 2 weeks, but I do think that this is going to be a significant challenge for him here. And I'll focus in on Michael Pierce. To me, Michael Pierce is a guy that he has kind of this reputation of being the run stuffer, and he certainly can do that. But we've just been talking about Danielle Hunter, who has his 4 sacks. Pierce has 2 sacks of his own, as well as 2 more quarterback hits. I'm going to talk a little bit later, or we're going to talk a little bit later about some of the the impact plays that we've seen from Brian Monet and from Big Al Woods, that nose guard spot for the Seahawks. But Mike Zimmer and the Vikings have been getting terrific play from the inside of their defensive line as well. And again, it's not just the run stuffing. It's the ability to be able to knock back those centers and really get into the face of the quarterbacks. We talked just yesterday, Corbin, on our program about the fact that Russell Wilson has struggled a little bit in throwing the ball over the middle, especially when he's getting that pressure in his face. The Minnesota Vikings have a little bit of a rotation at that defensive tackle position, and I think that Weatherly in particular is a guy that you have to worry about a little bit, being able to provide a little bit of interior pressure. And if he cannot do that, if he has Seattle's interior offensive line occupied, that's just going to create a lot more pass rush lanes for a very aggressive linebacking core, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, etc., to be able to rush upfield and get into Russell Wilson's face as well.
Yeah, I feel like the interior, obviously Danielle Hunter has the ability to wreak havoc, but the interior, the Vikings have some big boys that can rush the passer. They can disrupt the pocket. And so that is going to be an area of concern going into this game. The Seahawks need a really solid performance from Kyle Fuller, and they need their guards to play up to their capabilities, or this could be a long afternoon. And of course, we got to go to the skill guys on the outside. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Freddie Swain coming off the best game of his career on the outside. This is a Vikings cornerback group that looked a lot different than a year ago, and they're banged up. Patrick Peterson's dealing with a toe injury. He was limited on Wednesday. Rashad Breeland is dealing with a back issue, and he was limited. So both of their starting outside corners, their status is a little bit tenuous right now going into this game. I would expect that at least one of those guys is going to play, if not both, but that could open the door for Mackenzie Alexander or second-year corner Cameron Dantzler to play. And those are two players that I feel like the Seahawks, their past track record has shown that they can take advantage if those players are on the field. So this is where I think the Seahawks really can win, is on the outside. And we could say that most weeks with the receiving talent they have. If they can protect Russell Wilson, I like the matchups here. Patrick Peterson's had Russell Wilson's number over the years at times, getting to be a little older corner, but he's a savvy corner. Maybe he's the one, if he plays, that you got to be a little more cautious with. But I think this is a Vikings cornerback group the Seahawks can absolutely exploit in this game.
Yeah, I think they can. Again, it's going to be absolutely critical for Seattle to have the pass protection to allow Russell Wilson to be able to exploit those corners. I'm intrigued. I want to see what Patrick Peterson still has left in the tank. I think that he has been one of the phenomenal defensive backs in all of the NFL for basically the last decade and a half or so. Just truly just an athletic freak. And so I always love to see these physical one-on-one battles between a guy built and still runs the way that Patrick Peterson does against another big, strong, fantastic athlete like a DK Metcalf in particular. I'm also really intrigued by just the flashes I've seen from Cam Dantzler, a former early pick for the Minnesota Vikings now in his second season. You have seen flashes. I think that he could be a stud. And Bashad Breeland, to me, is one of the better all-around corners that nobody really talks about. He's a good football player. And so, again, I think that this is a good secondary that Seattle's going to be going up against. But, yeah, this is the matchup that lots of fans are going to be really, really excited about. And depending on who is going to be the announcing crew this time, last week James Lofton was the color commentator. And so as a Hall of Fame wide receiver out there, he's going to be focusing on these kind of matchups. So I do expect there to be a great deal of attention on there. And so I'm really curious curious to see, especially with DK Metcalf, considering the fact that he had the holding penalties, wasn't quite as statistically successful last week as perhaps that we thought, and obviously the Seahawks lost that game. How does he respond to that kind of challenge here that Peterson especially might provide him? So I really think that this is going to be a fun matchup, not only from a Seahawks and Vikings perspective, but from a fantasy football perspective as well.
When we come back in the third quarter, we're going to flip gears. We're going to look at when the Seahawks are on defense going against Kirk Cousins and a high-powered Vikings offense. Don't go away. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Are you looking to step up your workout game? Then you need to try Built Bar. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus an occasional limited-time flavor. When you talk to a Built Bar fan like myself, we're definitely passionate about our favorite flavors, whether that's raspberry, mint brownie, my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate. There's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box. They'll send you 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're also healthy as well. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Put yourself in this scenario. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. I want to tell you about a simple way to fix that problem and get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. It's Matchup Wednesday. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined as always by Rob Rang. We just broke down 3 matchups to look for when the Seahawks are on offense going against the Vikings on defense. Now we're going to flip gears. The Seahawks, when they're on defense, struggled a lot down the stretch. The Titans were able to take control of the game on Sunday with Derrick Henry as the battering ram. Ryan Tannehill was very efficient with his passing opportunities. So the Seahawks struggled, gave up over 500 yards of total offense to the Titans. They are now going to be facing a Viking squad that, as much as they've struggled in the win-loss column, it hasn't been because of their offense. They can put points up in bunches. And it all starts with number 33 in the backfield, Dalvin Cook. This is the second straight week the Seahawks have to deal with an elite running back. Cook finished 2nd in the NFL in rushing yards last year. He's a dynamic talent. He was giving them fits last year, got injured halfway through the game, though, so the Seahawks didn't have to worry about him most of the second half. He's been dealing with a little bit of injury coming out of their week 2 matchup against the Cardinals, but expectations are that he's going to be able to play in this game. Brings so much quickness and great vision out of the backfield. A different style back, but just as effective as Derrick Henry. Another player that you've got to bottle up, and if your run fits aren't there, he's going to burn you. Home run threat capabilities out of the backfield.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it wasn't just the fact that Derrick Henry was able to rush for as many yards as he did against the Seahawks. I think what was the biggest surprise is the fact that he had a career-high 5 receptions against the Seahawks, and that was not really what had been part of his game in the past, but that's absolutely what's on Dalvin Cook's business card. Is his ability to be a runner and a receiver out of the backfield. He's absolutely dynamic in that regard. So just like it was with Derrick Henry, and I would argue just like it was with Jonathan Taylor in week 1 against the Colts, I think priority number 1 has to be stopping the run. And I don't want to say that as kind of the old school football guy that, oh, you have to stop the run, you have to earn your way to rush the passer. No, Dalvin Cook is just that damn good. And so you have to make sure that you slow him down at least. Otherwise, this game can get out of control very, very quickly. And so I think that it's we can focus in on Seattle's linebackers. And considering that, you know, Bobby Wagner is coming off a spectacular performance, 20-plus tackles against the Tennessee Titans, then sure, we can focus in on him. But I also want to focus in a little bit more on Jordan Brooks. Again, another player that is as talented as he is coming off of a disappointing performance, considering the fact that he was benched for a couple of plays after, you know, his penalty on the sideline. And then Cody Barton as well. I think that it's interesting that Seattle continues to sprinkle in Cody Barton. You have to see a little bit more physicality, a little bit more power at the point of attack to be able to slow down a back like this. And so to me, it's going to be critical that Seattle is playing with good gap integrity, is making the clean tackles, and certainly is rushing to the football, pursuing towards the football to make sure that you wrap this guy up, because he can make people slip off of him and he can break away. It's not like Derrick Henry, where he usually needs three or four or five steps to be able to get a full steam ahead, kind of a charge. Dalvin Cook can be gone in a flash. And so it's going to be critical for Seattle to tackle well. And of course, the linebackers, that's what they paid to do.
And I think setting the edge is going to be critical as well. That was really the issue they had in the second half. So I'm calling out Daryl Taylor here. He didn't play a ton of snaps. We'll see how many snaps he has against the Vikings. But number 52, you've got to start setting the edge better as a Sam linebacker. Or the Seahawks might have to look into some other options at that position. As great of a pass rusher as he is, I need to see a little bit more in the run defense department. He needs to hold up better at the point of attack. If he doesn't, this is a team that very easily could have a field day running off tackle with Dalvin Cook. Meanwhile, on the outside, the Vikings have plenty of weapons at receiver. They did trade Stephon Diggs before the 2020 season to the Buffalo Bills, but they went out and just drafted Justin Jefferson, and all he did was have a phenomenal rookie year. Now, he's third on the team right now in receiving yards, hasn't gotten quite as many targets and catches as I think a lot of people anticipated. That might be a worry for the Seahawks because he's due for a big game. But you've got Adam Thielen, who I believe is one of the top 10 receivers in football, outstanding route runner, extremely high football IQ, has great size to go with it, really soft hands. He's given the Seahawks fits in the past. And they've also added to the equation second-year player K.J. Osborne, who's actually second on the team in receiving yards, a guy that runs a lot of routes out of the slot. So those three players give them a dynamic trio for Kirk Cousins, who is off to one of the best starts of his career. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has been on fire, despite the fact the Vikings have not been able to win either one of their first 2 games. Going against the Seattle secondary that last week, particularly Trey Flowers, had a lot of trouble with Julio Jones. Guess what? You've got yourself another really challenging matchup with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson on the outside.
Yeah, I think this is a frightening matchup for the Seahawks. I really do. I think that, you know, with all due respect to what the receiving talent that they saw in week 1 against the Colts, week 2 against the Titans, I really think that these three receivers, and I'm happy you mentioned Osborne, just because I think that he is being slept on by a lot of people. I think that it is going to surprise people that he is number 2 currently on Minnesota's roster in terms of catches, in terms of receiving yards. You know, that's a pretty darn good receiving core that Seattle's going to go up against. And I think that Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback as well. I really like his accuracy. I like his toughness. I think that he is the kind of guy that is going to light up Seattle secondary for probably 300 plus, maybe 350, maybe 400 yards. I just look at this as a receiver who can absolutely just pull up a Seattle secondary. I just don't know who are you going to match up against Thielen. Him being the crafty route runner that he is, I just don't see Trey Flowers as being the type of guy who has that ability to change directions quickly to stick with Thielen, and I know that he can't run with Justin Jefferson. And so that is a concern. And then DJ Reed, at his size, again, I think that he is going to be vulnerable as well. If Seattle is suddenly going to sprinkle in guys like Bless Austin or Sidney Jones, as we've been kind of clamoring for, again, their lack of experience in Seattle's defense could be an issue there too. So I think this is going to be one of those barn burner games, Corbin. I can't wait to see how Seattle's receivers go against Minnesota's defensive backs, and obviously in this matchup as well, the way that Seattle's defensive backs go up against Minnesota's receivers. I think there's going to be all kinds of passing yards, all kinds of touchdowns are going to be going through the air in Minnesota this weekend.
One last matchup real quick that I want to break down. The Vikings offensive line has gone through plenty of turnover the last couple of years. They've rotated players in and out. But Garrett Bradbury, their former first-round pick, he's been the starting center now for several seasons. Really good athlete, a good zone blocker. This feels like a game, though. We saw how well Al Woods and Puna Ford played on Sunday against the Titans. And if they can get Brian Monet back, if not, maybe Robert Kendiche fits into this. But this feels like another game where those interior defenders could not only have a significant impact slowing down Dalvin Cook in the run game, but they could also make their presence felt rushing from the interior, because Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that if you're able to get that pocket disrupted some, he hasn't had this issue so far this year, but he will uncork some errant throws. And he's done that in the past. Last year, he made a throw that KJ Wright made an incredible one-handed interception on, but he always seems to uncork a few throws like that when they play the Seahawks. And I think interior pressure can create opportunities from the guys out on the edge. So I think this is a big game for the defensive tackles. And I think they can overpower Garrett Bradbury with the size that they have at the defensive tackle position.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a strategy that Seattle's going to have to try to take in this game. Because as you said, Garrett Bradbury is a spectacular athlete at the center position. And he's got that reputation as being a powerful guy. And part of that is because of the fact that I believe that he led all centers at the combine a couple of years ago before he was drafted in the first round by Minnesota. I think he led all centers there in bench press reps. I believe it was like 35 reps, a really impressive number. And he is a powerful center, but that's not his game. Where he's at his best is, as you said, as a zone blocker, getting out to the second level. If he is effective in doing so, he's going to be able to get to Seattle's linebackers, and it's going to create all kinds of running lanes for Dalvin Cook or Alexander Mattison, if Cook isn't able to play, for those types of backs to be able to be successful. But if Brian Monet or Al Woods or Puna Ford, if they are able to play the power game that we have seen, especially Woods last week against the Titans, and then again, Monet against the Colts in week one, if they're able to rock Bradbury back into Kirk Cousins' face, then yes, that to me is one of the areas in which Seattle might be able to limit all of those passing yards that I think that we're going to see. That to me is going to be the most underrated and but absolutely critical matchup in this game. I think the winner of that matchup winds up walking off that field with a victory.
Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Check out Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. When we return for our Thursday episode, it's Crossover Thursday. I'll be joining Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings, and we will be further breaking down this upcoming Week 3 matchup between the Seahawks and Vikings at US Bank Stadium. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.